Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Marvin Smith, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and I'm flying solo today. Marvin is actually working with one of the school districts and really trying to make a difference on the public sector side, something that I know I appreciate greatly. But every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, we will still bring you special guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Now, Answers for the Family will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more. Now, today we're going to be talking about those situations in which your child could use a little help, but it's something that can probably be handled from the home. So with us today is Danielle Hava, a licensed clinical social worker in New York and Colorado. She earned her Master of Science degree in social work with a concentration in advanced clinical practice from Columbia University. Now, Danielle came to Vibe with experience working with clients in various stages of life, working therapeutically with young adults transitioning from primary treatment to independent living. Danielle's passion for working with her clients lies in her helping clarify values, empowering them to ascertain their strengths, and supporting them to establish and maintain healthier ways of coping. Now, additionally, she has experience in program admissions, marketing, outreach, and development. This has allowed her the space to grow as a clinician, working with teens and young adults, their families, and prior treatment providers, as well as the referring professionals. She is thrilled to live in New York, and she is surrounded by her family, friends, and the city that she calls home. Now, with us is also Mick Kubiak, who is a licensed marriage and family therapist with a Master's of Arts degree in clinical psychology from Antioch University. She is the therapeutic team leader and parent coach at Vive and finds her most vivid training ground in her relationship with her own daughter. Now, she believes that our children offer us tremendous opportunities to expand, awaken, and grow, and recognizes that this growth can be painful at times. Now, you can go to her blog, which is badmommyla.blogspot.com. And again, if you're driving and you couldn't write that down, if you go to our website, which many of you have been to, Answers the Numeral for the Family, if you go to ours, we will have that there for you. So don't worry. But this blog is dedicated to exploring what Carl Jung would call the shadow side of parenting, and she has found that there are great riches to be found in our failures and weaknesses, as well as our successes and strengths. Now, she feels that it's a great honor to work with families at Vive. So, Danielle and Mick, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Hi, thanks so much. Thanks for having us.
Well, I am really glad to have you. For those people that have listened a long time and that know a little bit about me, they know that having been in this industry a very long time, one of the concerns that that I had for a great deal of time, if you go back to the early days of this industry, was aftercare. It was one of the many things, and again, as an investigator who would locate runaways and such, we would locate someone, we would take them to a program, they would get some really good help, and then they would go back to their family, and something would go wrong again, and they would take off. And I recall a time in which I was speaking with a father, and I had located his daughter three times, and she'd been to three different programs, and he was a little little upset. And he said, well, he goes, you're supposed to be the professional. He says, now you tell me. He says, you know, what the hell is wrong with these programs and stuff? Because, you know, I'm paying a lot of money to send her out to these things. And then she comes home and turns around and run away. And I said, well, sir, what's the common denominator? And he paused a long time and he went, oh, my God, it's me. You know,
that's amazing. You recognize that.
Yes. So, but I tell that story because, again, I mean, you know, it took this person, you know, three different times to realize that that having somebody there to work with them when their child comes back, and I know that's not the only thing that you provide, but how incredibly important it is. And for those parents that have, you know, mortgaged their house, they've done everything they possibly could to get their child, you know, the very best help they could, and then to feel like it's all falling apart again, you know, to me, the concept of knowing that there are people like you out there that they can contact, that can come in and help them as a family, you know, follow that same program, that same mm-hmm. level of transition coming back into the home, and really help their child succeed, but also their family succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really see our job when we're working with families in aftercare. Our job is to take everything that they've learned in their primary treatment, whether it was a wilderness program, a residential treatment center, you know, hospitalization even, and really take all of that and help them apply that to their real life, to their everyday life. And we're not only helping their children, the clients, but we're really working with the parents as well and the family as a whole.
Yeah, again, that just makes so much sense to me. So now for some of the parents out there that are listening that have not ever talked with you or learned anything about home care or about Vive, just explain a little bit about how the program works as a whole, mm-hmm. more than just aftercare, because I know that there's much more that you do.
Yes. Okay. Well, basically, Vive is a family therapy program, and we're community-based. So we're working with teens and young adults in their homes and the communities in which they live. So a lot of our teenagers are living at home with their parents. Young adults might be living on their own for the first time, or maybe still with their parents. And we're using therapeutic mentorship, parent coaching, and counseling to really support the family relationships. So all of our therapeutic mentors and parent coaches are highly trained and experienced. Everyone has a minimum of a master's degree in the field of mental health, or social work, marriage and family therapy. And so the way that we work is each family will work with a therapeutic mentor and a parent coach. So they work with two separate clinicians. The mentor is someone who's there to help the client reach their goals. So a lot of it's relationship building in the beginning, really getting to know each other. And then we set some goals to see how we can help the client the most. Again, we want to take what they've learned in prior treatment and help them apply that to every day. So do they need help getting a job? Do they need help with school? Getting along with their family, their friends, really feeling confident and building their self-esteem, using tools to help manage their anxiety, or feeling stuck. You know, a lot of these teenagers, they kind of just don't know what to do, and really helping them feel at ease in the world. So the mentor has training as a mental health therapist, so they can really help with anything related to that overall wellness and balance. And we do all of our work out in the community. So we don't have an office that we work with them. Mm-hmm. We really try and do, you know, take them out to lunch, go for a hike, go out to coffee or a smoothie. It's a lot of exposure work. So we are seeing people in town, we're really getting to see how the clients are interacting with their environment. How are they relating to the things around them, and working with them in the moment? And so then the parent so the mentoring happens usually about 2 hours a week, and typically once a week. It could be more in the beginning, especially if they're just getting home from a program. So they might want a little bit more structure. As time goes on, it could be less. We really can customize that. And then the parent coaching happens either in person or over the phone. That's 1 hour a week. And Mick will talk a little bit later, give some more details about what the parent coaching looks like. But we really do find it's important, and we see successful outcomes when we also work with the parents, because they're just as much, you know, part of the picture. And oftentimes when these kids are at Wilderness or at a residential program, they're doing a lot of work, a lot of inner work. And the parents don't always get as much therapeutic work done. And we really like to help them with that and help them manage their own anxiety. Another really important piece to Vive is what we call the in-between time, or the flex time. Uh-huh. And so we really encourage both the parents and the client, or the young adult or teenager, to reach out to us in between their scheduled sessions. So when things are really coming up for them, are they getting into a fight with their mom or dad? Maybe they got a bad grade on a test at school. Maybe they got into a fight with someone at school, or an argument with a friend. And when is that, when are those, when are they needing to work on those skills? Maybe they're feeling a little bit depressed. Maybe they're feeling anxious. Maybe they're feeling angry. So we'll start out by encouraging them to reach out to us either by text, phone. If we need to be there in person, we can be. And same with the parents. Parents reach out to the parent coach when things are up for the family, and we'll help them work through that in the moment. And so that's very important to the way that we work.
Yeah. Now, and one of the things that just makes so much sense to me, I mean, it sounds like it's sort of like also that component of it is also sort of like becoming an arbitrator, you know, where if you have somebody say that did something at school and they know that the school is going to tell their parents, but they want to be able to share their side of the story, so to speak, that they're able to really text you and say, I'm feeling a lot of anxiety about this, and I don't think that they're going to hear me. You're really able to come in and sort of arbitrate and help both sides to be better listeners and give each other the time to explain what's just happened and how it should be dealt with.
Yeah, absolutely. And the really important thing is that our primary goal is to build a relationship with our clients, with both the parents and with the youth. And so once we build that relationship, and we do that by seeing them in person, we do that by reaching out to them by text or phone, checking in, asking them how their day is going. By building a relationship, they start to trust us, and we can have those really honest and open conversations.
Okay. One of the things that I'm aware of that you have that I don't know that I don't know of others, you know, that have this situation, but that you set up and you use two separate clinicians with each family. So what is the reasoning for that? And how does that work, you know, with each family? Why is that a major component of the way in which you provide your service?
So with mentor and the parent coach, they really do share everything with one another. We're using a team approach, which is great because we can do a lot of clinical supervision and case consultation. We do keep information confidential from parents and vice versa, unless they're, you know, it's confidentiality. So unless there's a legal exception, if the kid said he was going to hurt himself or someone else, we would have to bring that forward. Mm-hmm. The other reason is that we really want to keep the mentor and kid, the client relationship, feeling really safe. So it's tough when, and parents usually do like to do this, we don't want the parents calling the mentor, asking what are they doing with their child, what is the child talking about, did they tell the mentor about this or that. We really want to separate that relationship as much as we can. I know Mick can speak a little bit more to the parent side because she does the parent mm-hmm. coaching and how that looks.
So Mick, go ahead.
Yeah. A lot of it is being there for the parents because they are so concerned about their kids and they're so used to being the only person maybe on the front line with their kids.
Uh-huh.
And we want to start to create some space in that relationship so that the parents can focus less on the kid and more on their own struggles and issues in the relationship. And, you know, a lot of it is anxiety management, like Danielle was saying, and also expectation management and psychoeducation about, you know, who is your child really? And a lot of parents will come in with these huge expectations. And then when the mentor is working with the kid, they can come back and say, yeah, no, you can't do that. Like, we need to really work on reducing these expectations.
Uh-huh.
Another great piece with having the two clinicians is the monthly family meeting where we're mm-hmm. both there. And I think that's one of the most powerful pieces of Vibe. One of the mentors that I work with here, we call ourselves training wheels in the family meetings
uh-huh.
because we're present in the moment. So we actually get to see how, when the kid comes forward and says he got caught cheating or something happened, right? Or he's in trouble.
Uh-huh.
We get to see firsthand what is the parent's automatic approach. And we can say right in there, like, hey, you know what, let's just listen first. And hopefully the parent coach has been working with the parents so they know to kind of just let the kids speak. They know how to manage their own anxiety rather than just, yelling or attacking or punishing right away. You know, how we go in there and kind of create space and give very direct coaching in that moment of how to get through these moments that could have turned into very volatile, you know, maybe resulting in someone running away, like the story you were talking about at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe that dad just didn't know how to be a safe listener for her. So anytime one little thing came up, he explodes, right?
And
then she's not safe, and so she runs away. When if he could have not exploded and just sat and listened, he might have found out some deeper reason why she did what she did, right? Whatever it was. And then you start to move in to work with your kids relationally on that issue. And that's how kids stay in the home, right? Because
right.
They have a relationship with you where they feel safe and they can trust you and mm-hmm. you can help them.
Now, Mick, share with our listeners again, because many, many of them are parents. Share with some of the tools or strategies that you discuss with parents, because I think a lot of them will be able to relate to a
yeah.
particular tool that maybe they need.
Sure. I guess one of the things I'm really interested in the central nervous system, and I talk about that a lot with my clients. And just noticing when things start to go wrong with your kid, especially with parents who have a kid who's coming back from treatment, because we know that leading up to that kid being sent away, things were like pretty nightmarish, right? You don't just
mm-hmm.
do that. You don't just send your kid away.
Right.
So you are pretty activated, right? You're upset all the time. You're in what we call fight or flight in your nervous system.
Uh-huh.
And the thing about fight or flight is that it puts you into this really constricted, narrow view of the world where there's only two possibilities, right? You're either going to yell at your kid or you're going to, like, you know, maybe avoid your kid, run away, and they're kind of in the same state. And
uh-huh.
so not much good can happen from that position. And so I find a really important tool is just even just saying that, right? And getting people to recognize in the moment, like, right, I'm going into fight or flight.
Right, like, you're shining a light on it.
Yeah, exactly. And so people can notice, like, okay, I did find a joint in his room, but this isn't a life or death scenario. So what would happen if instead of freaking out and screaming, what if I did something different? Like, what if I stay regulated here and call my parent coach and let her know what happened? And then we're going to talk for a bit. And by the time I'm talking to my kid about this, it's a different conversation because I'm in a different mental state. And that gives my kid an opportunity to be in a different mental state as well.
Yeah, and I mean, it makes good sense. And I think when you talk about the child having a different mentor, now the child, you know, if the child knows that this has been found, they have somebody mm-hmm. that they can call and sort of do the same thing so that they don't mm-hmm. immediately, you know, jump on the parents, you know, well, you know, you're whatever, you know, where they try to change the subject, you know, around by just flying off, you know, it allows everybody to sort of back off and go, okay, let's not try to push buttons. Let's just stick to what this is and what it really means. So
let's deal with it. And, you know, that's another place where then the mentor and parent coach, so there's probably already a family meeting on the schedule if they're working with five, right? So we know what we're going to be talking about at our next family meeting. And the mentor is there to support the kid so the kid doesn't feel under attack. And the parent coach is there to help the parents continue to address the issue, definitely, but in a way that's a non-anxious presence for the kid. So does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Okay. You know, Danielle, give us a little bit more on the, you know, on more the mentor side of this picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, another thing is that, and especially in a family meeting, we're really talking about positive role modeling. So a lot of our mentors, our VIVE mentors, they kind of have what we call the cool factor. You know, uh-huh. they're a little bit younger. Mm-hmm. They're really relatable to our clients. And we're demonstrating on how to communicate within the family. So whether that's happening in a family session or maybe the kid is reaching out to the mentor during a little crisis or something that's come up for them, we're really demonstrating communication strategies or being that positive role model for them. And I think the other piece is to have the parent coach involved. It really reduces the resistance that the child might be feeling. Again, we pride ourselves on being a family system model, and we want to reduce those feelings of the client feeling either blamed or targeted or like he or she is the problem. We really look at each relationship and role in the family, and having the parent coach involved and doing the parent work really helps that client trust that the parents are also working on improving their family dynamics mm-hmm. and really helps them feel a little more comfortable knowing that their family members and also not just the parents, sometimes the siblings are involved as well in a family meeting. And so it helps to know that everyone else is working on it as well. So that dual relationship helps make these family meetings really well-rounded.
Yeah, I think you bring up another good point when you mentioned about the fact to where you know the client, be it the teenager or the parent, doesn't feel as though they're being thrown under the bus. They're not the ones mm-hmm. being blamed, and I think that is just huge, and it's something that even on the transport level that we work on as well is that, you know, you're going to be spending time with this child, you know, they're going to tell you a lot of things. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to jump on that bandwagon. There are ways to mm-hmm. approach that, you know, when somebody says something, you know, yeah, but you don't understand. I come from a dysfunctional family and the, you know, mm-hmm. and my parents are all screwed up and they're doing this, that, you know, and it's, well, you know, then, you know, that's certainly something that we can discuss. We don't have mm-hmm. to jump into something and go, well, you think your parents are bad, let me tell you about mine, you know?
Right, right.
not going to help. So now going along those lines, and we're going to take a break real quick, but when we come back, I want you to talk a little bit about how to handle the families when parents think they don't need coaching. They're in denial. Mm-hmm. So again, we're going to take a break. Everybody stay with us. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
And we're back. The subject of the day is we are talking about in-home care. In those situations, either because a child maybe has abandonment issues or something and has to deal with something where maybe a program could help, but because of the abandonment issues, you might be better off to work with someone in-home, or the aftercare situation where the family can just all benefit from following along with the same thing. So Danielle and Mick, tell us a little bit about the situation when you have a parent or you have a family that says, you know, I appreciate the fact that, you know, that somebody suggested that I talk to you or that I meet with you, but, you know, we really don't need parent coaching.
It does happen quite often, and usually during the admissions process, many parents will tell us they don't think they really need the parent coaching piece. And sometimes that happens a little bit more often when we're doing early intervention or early care. So the child has not had any treatment or hasn't been removed from the home at any point, which, you know, we do aftercare, but we also like to do the early care as well. And sometimes parents think, I mean, their kids are really displaying a lot of signs and symptoms that are alarming. And oftentimes parents are, you know, part of that big picture as well and need just as much support. But maybe they haven't had too much support in the past or they haven't had any experience with therapy. I'll let Mick go into some things that we talk to parents about, but I'll just say that without a doubt, the parent coaching piece is an essential part to what we do. And we've been doing outcome studies over the last couple of years, and we've really seen that our outcomes are better and the families are more, you know, quote unquote, successful when the parents are also involved. So, Mick, do you want to talk a little bit about what you might say to parents when they think they don't need the coaching?
Sure. You know, I think resistance is such a common theme with parents, but I find that, you know, because one of the things that's great about VIVE is that we do say, you know, actually, you do have to do that. You do have to do that. And kind of once you can get parents on the phone and they start talking, oftentimes, you know, things will open up pretty quickly. And, for example, like that piece I'm talking about with just staying regulated in your central nervous system, that can be a big piece for parents to understand, like, oh, I could do that even as my kid is doing whatever they're doing, you know, even if they're not whipping into shape the way I want them to, I could be okay. I don't have to freak out. And I think that's often very appealing to parents. Another thing that keeps them in the game is that because we do protect the relationship between the kid and the mentor pretty strenuously, they're staying engaged with the parent coach to, you know, keep their foot in the door. And then the family meetings are amazing for reducing resistance because they you can't it's an amazing thing to go into the home, and that people allow us into their homes is such, it really is like an honor and an incredible experience, because you get, it's so vulnerable. People really open up there. And I find that usually with the family meetings and two therapists there reflecting what's going on, and as they start to see movement with their kid, most parents, they kind of let go of that, the resistance piece, and they start to see how, you know, it's true, I'm not the one who's acting out, maybe. I'm not the one who's got the drug issue or whatever the issue is with their child. But how I relate to my child while my child is struggling has a huge impact. And once they understand how powerful they are, how powerful parents are, I think they get pretty motivated and interested.
Yeah, now it's interesting you say once they realize how powerful they are, because in most cases, I believe they feel powerless.
So
for them to start to understand what they do have and how they can best use it. Now I find also, and I'd like you to touch on this too, if you run into the same thing, in regards to them feeling judged. You know, we have situations, from a transport standpoint, to where we're asking a bunch of questions to get as much information as possible. And you can feel them as they start feeling like their answers are creating a level of judgment. And what I found as something that defuses that a little bit is to kind of stop and go, and when my children were younger, and say, let me stop for a moment and say that if you were here tonight at 8 o'clock in the morning or at 8 o'clock tonight, and my 8-year-old, was going to bed, you would have a better chance of getting him to go to bed at 8 o'clock, because it's, can I have another glass of water? Can I have a glass of milk? Can you read me another book? Can you rub my back? You know, all of those things that stretch that out, and that child knows my buttons and your child knows your buttons. So now having somebody else come in to be able to help them isn't somebody coming in to judge them, but it is somebody who your child doesn't know their buttons. Do you run into that type of thing, and are there any different tools that you may use to make them feel more comfortable about this process?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things, like you're saying, your child doesn't know their buttons, and I said yes. Because you find that when we start to really get into the family, we're really in there. And when the kid gets comfortable with the mentor, there is a sense that they do start to know those buttons too. And so I think the parents, that's that modeling that Danielle was referring to as well in the family meeting, where if the kid says something provocative to the mentor can show how to respond to that in a way that's not taking the bait. And I think framing it for parents too, with that piece of like, you're pushing my buttons, framing it for them that their kid isn't doing that in order to start a fight, even though that's what it looks like. What they're doing is just trying to engage you. So, hey, you really want my attention right now, what's going on? You're doing that thing. You're pushing my button. Again, it's that, what you said, shining the light, once you start shining the light on the mechanisms at work, there's a little more room to play.
So now when I opened the show, I talked quite a bit about the concept of transitioning from the programs, because this is the area that I have, a little more knowledge about. But tell us a little bit more, again, for those parents that are out there, they've now gotten involved within the system, their child has gone to a program, or they're in a program, or at the same time, I know we have lots of professionals out there that are listening or that will listen later on, either on the podcast or whatever. Talk a little bit about, that particular piece of it, the transition home, and why you've been so successful at it.
Yeah, Mm-hmm. Danielle, you
One big thing that we try and do as often as we can is start building that relationship actually before the child comes home. So for both the parent coaches and for the mentors, how much can we get to know this family while their kid's still at program? So maybe we'll, and this happens, you know, if we're, if the consultant or whoever is making the referral can, you know, get us in kind of early on, but we'll try and do some parent coaching with the parents, or at least getting to know you sessions with the parents before their kid comes home. We'll really talk about what are expectations, what are goals, what do they think, what are their own goals, what are their child's goals. A lot of times when kids are coming home from wilderness programs, they might use like a behavioral agreement or things that they need to do in order for the whole family to feel like things are working well. And sometimes we'll have the mentors go out into the field, either to the wilderness program or the treatment program, and meet with the child. Usually they're in their last week or so of program, so they're in a really good space. They're feeling healthy. They are feeling vulnerable, which is good because we can get in there and really see them in that authentic space. The mentors will often get to meet with the program therapist as well, maybe do a session with both the therapist and the client present. And so that kind of kicks, when we can do that, it really kicks it off. And we can always remind that client later, you know, remember when we were together in the field and you said that this was your goal and this is how you were feeling, you know, it's a good reminder for them of how they were in that vulnerable, open, honest space. So when we can do that, we love it. We can't always, but really the goal is to build that relationship right away. And that's the most important thing to transition. And what we'll do is we'll see them in person. We will, another piece about Vibe actually is that we live close to these families. So I didn't mention that in the beginning. So we're in 9 cities all over the country, and we only work with families that live in the cities that we're in, because we want to be able to be there in person if crisis comes up. We want to see these families face-to-face week after week. That's definitely a huge piece to why we're successful and why we're good with that transitional experience. So we're showing up face-to-face. We're going into their homes. We're seeing the family dynamics. We're really working with the clients on the skills that they want to build once that relationship has been built. And
hello, sorry. Are you still there? That's okay.
Sorry, I lost you for a second. So we really want to build that relationship in their home, in their community. I don't know, Mick, you want to talk a little bit more about the parent piece and what happens with that transition?
Sure. It's great if we can start with parent coaching like a month before the child comes home, and we can also be, you know, talking to the therapist working with the child at the wilderness program or therapeutic school, and getting a sense of what the child's perceptions are of what going home is going to look like and what the parent's perceptions are, and start really bridging that gap. I know some programs do that, but oftentimes even programs that have a family piece, I feel like that the real comprehension of what that transition home is going to be like isn't quite there, just because it's not the specialty, you know, and that's kind of what we specialize in. So I think that's so true, just having like a nice bridge built between the treatment program and home, and really creating connection for all the clinicians involved, the parent coach, the mentor, the therapist, the, you know, and then the parents and the kids. So there's, you know, it's like hands across America. You know, there's people holding hands all the way from the treatment program to the home, you know, and keeping those relationships going even after I know I've called people at programs and said, you know, 2 months into working with a family, like, we are dealing with this. Did you deal with that? And they'll say, yes. And, you know, here's what we did, or here's what we tried, or they'll give me some piece of information I didn't get anywhere else. So that's another great piece about the work we do. We really try to connect with that program or that school and say, anything you think I need to know, you know, let me know. Yeah. And in the other direction too. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say
another.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say another piece of that I mentioned in the beginning, that we consider ourselves community-based family therapy. So the community piece is that we really know all the local resources as well, and that helps for the family when, because oftentimes, you know, they are working with maybe a psychiatrist, a tutor, other kind of academic support, an executive functioning coach. So we're working as a team with all of these people, mm-hmm. All these professionals, to really be that wraparound support. And we know these local resources, we're communicating with them. Not only are the parent, coach, and mentor communicating on a weekly basis, but we're speaking to all of these other professionals that might be working with the family. We're really considering ourselves kind of out-of-the-box therapy. We call it therapy without walls. It's doing something very different than just coming into an office, sitting down, and let's talk about your problems, or let's talk about some goals. We're interacting with them. We're seeing how do they relate to one another in the family and to people in the outside world. And I think it's very special when we can come into the home and, you know, for example, I've worked with a young client where she was having a meltdown. She reached out to me. I was able to come to the house. And while she's having the meltdown, I can hear her as I walk in the door. I also see, mom kind of hovering over, trying to listen in on the door, like her ear to the door. I see brother slamming his door because he's sick and tired of listening to this. I see dad hidden away in the computer room, pretending like nothing's happening. You know, you really get to see the family dynamics and relationships of when things are up. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with transition, and we're always prepping the parents and prepping each family member that behaviors are going to come back. You know, it's not going to be just smooth sailing after a program's finished. I know we'd all like to think that, especially with all the time and energy and money that's put into it, but behaviors do come back, and our goal is to help them not to become patterns again. And we actually like when we can see some of these old behaviors, because then we can work with them in the moment and really help the family in the moment how to relate to it differently this time around.
Well, there's a message that's coming in, and this one reads, you reference that your services are available in local communities. I am a psychologist in Pittsburgh, and I am frequently seeking additional resources for my clients with troubled teens besides sending them to out-of-state programs. Can you elaborate about parent coaching and explain, if you have coaches and services in our area?
Yes. Well, unfortunately, we're not in Pittsburgh, so I'm sorry to say that. We are. I'll tell you the 9 cities that we're in, and we can go usually about a 60-mile radius outside of these cities, depending on where it is. Uh-huh. But we're in the Boston area. We're in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area. We're in Chicago, Illinois. We're in Atlanta, Georgia. We're in Denver and Boulder, Colorado. We're in Southern California, Northern California. We're also in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And our newest team is Salt Lake City, Utah. So depending on the location, we can drive a bit farther. That's the other thing, is that we're always going to the family. So even though we do live in the same cities and communities, but let's say the family is a little bit outside of our location, we can drive a bit, but we do want to be as close as we can. We don't have anyone in Pennsylvania, unfortunately.
Now, do you have a couple of locations that are on the horizon that you see coming up within the next 3 to 6 months?
No, because we just opened Salt Lake City. So that opened, we just opened our office there actually this past month. So we announced it July 1st. So that's our newest city. We see, you know, there's a lot of wilderness programs and other residential treatment centers, therapeutic boarding schools that are in Utah. And we've been hearing that a lot of the teens who turn 18 or the young adults tend to stay in the area. Maybe they're going to college there, or they've built a life for themselves there. So we're now in Salt Lake City. I'm not sure where we'll open next, but we'll be sure to let you know.
All right. Well, we have another email that has come through, and this one says, our 15-year-old son seems to be able to get through his school just fine. Now that we are in summer vacation, he seems to think that none of the rules of the house apply to him. Mm-hmm. Is this an area that you are able to help, and if so, how?
I'll let you take that.
And I'm guessing you've never heard this before.
Yeah, I was going to say my first thought would be to normalize that experience.
Yes.
I think kids are very tightly scheduled during the school year, you know, and they just are like, they cannot wait for summer, and then it comes and they really want everything to be off. And I think I would start with a conversation, you know, not a, like, you can get into this thing where you're like, why haven't you done this? And you haven't done that. And you're frustrated, as opposed to just like, hey, I'm really noticing that since you're out of school, you're not doing any of the usual stuff. You're not really picking up your clothes. You're kind of leaving dishes in the sink, or, you know, I'm not sure what these rules of the house are. But to just start it with like kind of a relaxed question, you know, conversation, and explaining, you know, here's the reasons that won't work in an ongoing basis. Mm-hmm. Here's what our needs are as your parents, and we want to hear what do you have to say though. It seems like you're just ready to cut loose. What's going on with that? And then maybe he can say, yeah, I don't want to do anything that I don't want to do. It's summer. You know, and then at least you're just starting a conversation, and you can mirror that. Oh, I get that. I feel that way sometimes. I don't want to do what I don't want to do. But, you know, the house would kind of fall apart if I did that. So,
exactly.
Where can we find a happy medium?
Well, I just glanced over at the clock. I can't believe that we're almost out of time. Time has flown by. So two points I'd love for you to touch on. One is... tell us a little bit about this guy, Dave.
Yeah, good question.
Yeah. Obviously, I know Dave, but share with everybody a little bit about Dave. And then, you know, because you are now in multiple locations, what is the best way for anybody to get a hold of you?
Okay. So Dave Herz is our founder and CEO. He started Vive. Actually, 15 years ago, this past spring, it was 15 years, he started Vive in Boulder, Colorado. That's where he lived. And he was working actually in a residential treatment program. And I think he just kind of realized that residential piece wasn't for everybody. And some of the clients that he had worked with, he moved on from that treatment center, and he was teaching, he was doing a bunch of different things. And some of those clients had reached out to him in more of a mentoring role. And Dave was really noticing how that works, how it works to meet with these kids out in the community and really get real with them. And, you know, it's that therapy without walls, that things kind of happen in that relationship when you're taking a drive, when you're on a hike, when you're walking down the street to go get coffee. And he saw how different that was and how it really impacted the clients. He also noticed that it was really tough for him to manage the parents on his own. So he was, as a mentor, he felt the pressure of also managing the parents' anxiety, parents asking what they were doing. So he did hire a parent coach to help him at that point. And Vive kind of got started just like that. And it's built over the years. We've really grown exponentially and into the 9 cities that we're in today. And each city, there's a clinical team leader. So Mick is our clinical team leader in Southern California. And that's the person who is really managing the team of parent coaches and mentors. We do a lot of clinical supervision. We're working, Mick will work with the families as well if anything comes up, with logistics and billing. So the clinical team leader is kind of the go-to person in that location, in that office.
And I was going to say, and do they try to reach the individual for that, or do they go to the website and then the website tells them how to get to each city?
Yes. Yeah, so on our website, it's vivefamilysupportprogram.com. There's a little tab that says find a mentor / parent coach near me. And it's a drop-down menu. You'll see all the locations that we're in. However, if they are interested in our services, the person to call would be our admissions director. Her name's Lydia Bishop. And she knows every single clinician in all of our cities and knows who would be a great fit for your child when she speaks with you.
Okay. And what's that number?
So Lydia's number is 770-710-4943. That's her direct number. She's our director of admissions, and she can talk to any family and figure out what's the best fit for you.
Well, both of you, thank you so much. As I said, I can't believe that we're out of time. Thank you so much for coming on. For anybody out there, if you were driving, if you couldn't write any of that down, go to answers4thefamily.com. We will have all of the information on Vive there. So again, thank you both for being with us.
And
thank you.
All right.
So much fun.
And I enjoyed it as well. And for everybody out there, please, if you miss a show and you want to share, or you want to share this show with a friend, go to our archive, again, at answers4thefamily.com. And the next time that you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page, like us. It helps us get the word out. Tune in next week when our guest will be Dr. Amy Allers, and she will discuss the judgmental, critical, and belittling that occurs in the inner bully that many women hear running through their mind on a daily basis. And she's going to discuss the solution to this problem, which is found in her new book, Inner Mean Girl Reform School, the virtual self-love school for women. Be good humans and be with us next week. Thank you.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Marvin Smith, right here on LA Talk Radio.